Thank you.
Glad that you are with us, and a happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you.
Now, you have a few kids.
I have four kids. They're kind of nearly not kids anymore. The eldest is, well, she's finished uni. She got married last year.
Yeah, wow.
Two at uni and one who's finishing school somehow this year.
It's been a bumpy ride, hasn't it,
yeah,
for HSC students and for their families.
Yeah.
So, Carl, what's the best thing about being a dad?
I think the best thing about being a dad is the incredible privilege you have of raising other human beings.
Mm.
What a privilege that you get to launch people out into the world to do the kind of good things that, well, you can't do on your own. My kids, I'm praying that they will go beyond me and do things that I've never been able to do.
Yeah.
That they'll be a real benefit to others in the community and might really serve all the nations of the world in ways that I can't.
That's a wonderful thing. How about, what's the hardest thing, do you reckon, about being a dad?
Yes, the hardest thing about being a dad is that, well, you don't always do it as well as you'd like.
Mm.
You've got to admit your weakness in a sense.
Yep.
It's when you tell the kids, yep, I'll definitely be there, I'll definitely be at that training session, that sport, that, and work, something comes up.
Yeah.
And you fail them, you let them down. Or that funny line that you say to them that turns out to not be that funny and just hurtful.
Yeah.
You don't always parent as well as you'd like to parent, and that's hard.
Yeah. And so what difference does Jesus make to being a dad, do you reckon?
Yes, Jesus taught me the beauty of forgiveness.
Mm.
And that's come out in a number of ways. When I haven't done as good a job of being a father as I'd like, I ask the kids to forgive me for that.
Mm.
And I apologise to them. When I'm trying to work out how to help the kids love and care for each other, they don't always do that as well as they should. Trying to help them to be able to be people who can forgive each other.
Mm-hmm.
And really, forgiveness is such a beautiful thing because it recognises that I'm not perfect.
Mm.
And allows us to keep being in relationship with each other and having a good relationship with each other. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in the talk in just a moment.
Fantastic. Well, that's a great point for us to turn now to read the Bible. So I'm about to read the passage that Carl will be speaking about. But just to flag again that after, towards the end of the service, there'll be an opportunity for a live Q&A session. So you'll see on the screen, there should be the Slido website. So you can go to that, type that in, and be able to type in your questions. And so we'll be able to ask some of those to you in a minute. But let's read the passage now, which is Colossians 1. It'll be up on the screen, verses 15 to 23. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant.
Well, I don't know what growing up was like for you, but I grew up on a pretty wild 5 acres of bushland in Sydney with two older siblings and four older cousins who lived just up the street. And on that kind of property, with those older, bigger kids, growing up for me was both a contact sport and a survival challenge. And because I was the smallest kid, I was the youngest, I tended to be the one who received the most contact and required the most patching up in order to survive the challenge. Now, fortunately, or perhaps unfortunately, My mother had been a nurse, so there was nothing she couldn't fix, or at least that's what she thought. There was never a need for things like emergency rooms or hospitals or anything like that. If Mum couldn't fix it with some sticky plaster and a few bandages, then it couldn't be fixed. One day, my brother and I were having a bath. We would have been roughly about 5 and 7 years old. He was bigger, so he got the better end of the bath. I got the end with the taps, of course. Now, something blew up between us, and push came to shove, and my brother decided to put his feet up and kick me in the chest with both of his feet. And as my body and my head hurtled backwards, that little inconvenient tap became slightly more of a problem to my head. And then the bathwater started turning red. Now, at this point, my brother said one of the funniest things I have ever heard. We were sitting in a red bath by this stage. I had a decent gash in the back of my head, and he looks at me dead seriously, and he says, dead seriously, "Don't tell Mum." Now, I'm not just telling you this story to show how remarkable it is that I made it to adulthood. That incident with the tap and my brother's request relates to what we need to talk about today. Who had my brother wronged? It was me, clearly, right? So why was my brother worried about facing the wrath of my mother? It wasn't just me that he'd wronged, was it? By hurting me, he'd also wronged my mother because she cared about us and had given us commands about not damaging each other too badly. My brother knew that by wronging me, he had brought himself under the rightful judgment of my mother. So, do you think God cares about the way we humans treat each other? Last week, as we looked at the problem of disconnection that's become so big at these COVID times, we saw that it wasn't just a COVID problem. We saw that some of the disconnection that we feel has actually come from the way that we treat each other. And we saw from the Bible that the way we treat each other is often motivated by our own self, our selfish desires. And when my selfishness meets your selfishness, of course it's going to be hard to stay connected. But the passage we looked at last week also held out a different way of relating. God's wisdom for relationships is about treating each other differently to that, with things like kindness, gentleness, mercy, impartiality, sincerity. And we saw that the wisdom of those kind of actions and attitudes brought beautiful peace in relationships. But you and I know that those kind of actions and attitudes, they're not easy to live out in frustrating relationships. And we often find ourselves, that deep-seated selfishness rising up, pushing its way to the surface, and shaping our actions and attitudes towards others. But I guess I want to ask you today, wouldn't you like to treat people differently? Wouldn't you like to treat the people you love differently? The good news is that God can help you with that. But before we work out how God can help us connect better with each other, we need to deal with our troubled connection with God. Because when we hurt each other, you and I haven't just wronged each other. We've also wronged the God who created us and who loves us. Because God loves all the people that he has created, and because God has given us commands about how we should treat each other, when we wrong each other, we are also wronging God. And so today we need to face up to this hard reality about our disconnection with God. But the Bible passage we're looking at today has lots of good news about what God has done to fix this disconnection problem with us. So the solution is all about Jesus, and that's why we are looking at a passage that is all about Jesus. We're at point one, Jesus is. Did you notice as we read this passage that Jesus is more powerful than you thought? Have a look again at verses 15 and 16. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things have been created through him and for him. This verse highlights the connection between God the Son and God the Father. And what it's saying is that Jesus is the best way to understand what God is truly like, because Jesus is the visible image of the invisible Father. Jesus can show you what God is truly like, because he's been there with God from the beginning, involved in everything that God has done from the moment our world came into being. The passage says all things were made through Jesus, whether it's on earth or in heaven, whether it's spiritual powers or human rulers, Jesus was involved in their creation. The most powerful person that you can think of was created by Jesus. Jesus is more powerful than you thought. Jesus is also more important than you thought. Verse 16 not only says that our world was created through Jesus, it also says that our world was created for Jesus. Now, what does that mean? What do you think it means that our world was created for Jesus? Do you think it is possible that our world was created for Jesus to be its Lord? Now, I know that's pretty deep and profound, but that is why we call Jesus Lord. He is the one who is in charge of the whole universe. It was created through him. It was created for him. It belongs to him. This concept of Jesus owning the universe as its Lord is actually hinted at early in that passage, in our passage, in that little phrase, firstborn of all creation. That phrase doesn't mean that Jesus was the first person born or the first person created. Jesus has always existed. He wasn't created. Yes, he was born as a human, but that birth was not the start of his existence. This term firstborn, it's kind of like Middle Eastern shorthand for the one who inherits everything. I have a Syrian friend who has three sisters, one of whom is older than him. When his father died, my friend inherited everything because he was the firstborn son. He inherited the lot. But it was his responsibility to provide for the care of his sisters. Jesus is the firstborn of all creation because he has inherited the lot. It all belongs to him. He's Lord of it all. Jesus is more powerful than you thought. Jesus is more important than you thought. And I want to show you two reasons why Jesus is more vital than you thought. The first reason is in verse 17. He, Jesus, is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This verse is saying that Jesus holds the whole creation together. That means Jesus is not only the creator of our world, he is also sustaining our world to this very day. We live and breathe today because Jesus continues to sustain our world and our existence. Jesus is more vital than you thought. But it's down in verses 19 and 20 that we start seeing the second reason why Jesus is so vital. Let's have a look. Verses 19 and 20. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Jesus is the one who reconciles things. To reconcile, you probably know, it's to bring things back into a right relationship with each other. And this verse is saying that everything in our world needed to be reconciled or brought back into a right relationship with God. Our world was out of step with God. Our world was out of sync with God. Our world was out of relationship with God. And I suspect you sometimes feel that our world is not what it should be. You sometimes feel that our world is in need of putting right. That's the reconciliation that this verse is speaking about. And the Bible tells us that the world finds itself in that situation because, well, humans like us have caused the problem that needs putting right. And so let's focus on us for a moment. We're at point two. We are. I hate to say it, but we humans need to face up to the hard reality that we are more of the problem than we thought. When we talk about us humans being more of the problem, where does your mind immediately go? Global warming? Economic exploitation? Wars? Conflicts? They are all symptoms of the problem, but the Bible gives us the underlying cause. Have a look at it with me in verse 21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Our human problem is described in disconnection terms. Alienated, enemies. Our human problem does end up in that evil behavior of trashing the environment and exploiting others and fighting each other in wars and conflicts and lots of other equally selfish antisocial actions. But our human problem begins in our disconnection from God, in alienation and hostility towards God. You see, we humans, we've done a pretty good job of pushing God out of our lives. We've been hostile towards God. We've alienated God. We've pushed God away because we don't really want to listen to Him about how we should live in His world. We humans have actually done it quite effectively, pushing God out of our lives. And because we don't want to listen to God about how we should treat His world and His people, we've tended to treat His world and His people pretty badly. You can see why our world needs reconciliation with God. And you can probably see why we need peace with God. See, God has every right to be angry about the way we've treated Him and His world and the people that He has created. In these days of cancel culture, God probably had every right to cancel us for good. God had every right to step back from hostile humanity and say, "You are dead to me." But God didn't. Even after the horrible way that we've treated God, God has gone out of His way to make reconciliation possible with us. And that is the good news that I want to share with you today, that we are more reconcilable than we thought. See, sometimes it feels as though the disconnection that comes from wrongs and hurts is so hard to overcome. How fortunate are we that God is big enough to overcome the wrongs and the hurts that we have done to Him. Let's keep reading from verse 21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight without blemish and free from accusation. God's solution is all about the death of Jesus at the cross. That's what the verse means by Christ's physical body through death. And verse 20 said something very similar, by the blood of His cross. We're talking about the death of Jesus. It's the key here. So do you mind if I ask you, why do you think Jesus had to die? Well, the Bible is clear that there is a penalty for our sin, our rebellion against God. God's ultimate judgment upon our sin, the Bible says, is death. My sin deserves the death penalty. Your sin deserves God's death penalty. And yet, because God loves His people, He stepped in and took that death penalty in our place as our substitute in the body of Jesus. Jesus willingly did it. He took on death on a cross so that you and I can have the opportunity to avoid God's judgment that we deserve and instead to share life forever with God. And if Jesus death has paid the full penalty for your sin, then through Jesus you can be completely forgiven. Holy, blameless, without blemish, before God, all because Jesus died in your place. It's big, isn't it? This is big. And when you realize what it took to make things right between us and God, I hope you are starting to see that it is the only possible way back. And that's our last point today. Point three, the only way back. You see, if there were lots of ways back into a right relationship with God, then it would be crazy for God to sacrifice his own son. If you could make things right with God through a few good works or through going to church or giving to charity, then why would God sacrifice his own son at the cross? I hope you can see that Jesus is the only way back into a right relationship with God. Jesus is the only way. And the only way you can access this solution from God is by putting your faith, your trust in that death of Jesus for your sin. When you think of faith, trust, what do you think of? Do you think of blind faith? Wishful thinking? That's not Christian faith. True Christian faith isn't wishful thinking or blind. Christian faith is trusting in historical events which truly happened in history and still stand at the center of our history. When the Bible summarizes these true historical events, it calls that summary the gospel. Have a look at how verses 22 and 23 speak about this. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. The gospel is like the summary about Jesus and what he's done that you and I must believe, have faith in, to be reconciled to God. Let me lay out this gospel for you, and I think I can do it with a basic mind map of what the passage today has taught us. We'll do it up on the screen. Let me take you through it. We started today by being reminded that we humans are God's creation, created through Jesus. Then we were reminded about our hostility towards God. We should have listened to God about the way to live in his world, but instead we've largely ignored him. In pushing God away, that leaves us alienated from God and facing his judgment. Jesus is the only way back into a right relationship with God. Through his death on the cross, he's taken that death penalty that we deserve for our sin, and his resurrection means he's no longer dead. He's alive again, Lord of all the universe. If we trust in Jesus and his death for us, we are forgiven by God. Being forgiven, blameless, and above reproach before God means we can be reconciled back into that right relationship with God that we desire. And if we've been reconciled by Jesus, then we truly have peace with God, and we can enjoy that relationship with God that we were created for. That is the gospel. And that is what you can put your faith in to receive this reconciliation with God. And if you look at the last few lines in the passage, you'll see that that is the gospel that is not just good news for Australians or for Europeans or for just any single nationality or people group. The gospel is good news for everyone because it is proclaimed in all creation. That is good news. No one should be excluded from this gospel, because this gospel is the only way back into a forgiven, reconciled, peace-filled relationship with God. Now, you might be thinking that you want what this gospel is is offering. Perhaps you haven't heard much about Jesus before, and what you're hearing, you'd like a part of. You'd like to receive these benefits of his death for you. If that's where you're at, that's great. I'm delighted. And the good news is you can put your trust in Jesus today. Take Jesus on as your Lord and be forgiven, reconciled, and back in a perfectly right relationship with God today. If that's what you want to do, let me read to you the kind of thing you could say to God to come back into that peaceful relationship with Him. It's just a prayer. It's a simple prayer. They're not magic words, but it might be the kind of thing that you want to say to God. I'm going to read through the prayer because I want you to know what you're praying. I don't want to surprise you here. I'm going to read through it once, and then if that's what you want to say to God to come back into that right relationship with Him through Jesus, you can pray it with me. Let me read the prayer first. We'll put it up on the screen. The prayer goes like this. Dear God, I'm sorry that I've wronged other people and wronged you. Please forgive me for my sin. Thank you that Jesus died to secure my forgiveness. Thank you for offering me reconciliation with you through Jesus. Please help me to trust Jesus as my Savior and follow Jesus as my Lord. Amen. If that's what you want to say to God today, to receive everything Jesus died to give you, why don't you pray it with me now? I'll slow the prayer down a bit so that you can pray along with me. Let's pray. Dear God, I'm sorry that I have wronged other people and wronged you. Please forgive me for my sin. Thank you that Jesus died to secure my forgiveness. Thank you for offering me reconciliation with you through Jesus. Please help me to trust Jesus as my Savior and to follow Jesus as my Lord. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer just now and really meant it between you and God, you can rest assured that God loves to answer that prayer. It is a life-changing prayer and it means a whole new right relationship with God for you. So the people here at Christ Church St. Ives would love to help you as you start out in this brand new relationship with Jesus as your Lord. So please let us know on the feedback loop that you've prayed that prayer. And someone from church will get in touch and help you as you start out this new life with Jesus.
Welcome back, Carl.
Thanks.
And an opportunity now to look at a couple of the questions that have come in on Slido. If you are watching this back later on, then feel free to jump on, add your questions. Or even as we're talking now, feel free to add your questions. There will be an opportunity for some extended Q&A. Throughout the week. But Carl, three questions that have come in that I think are really poignant to where we've got this morning. The first one is, can you just explain to us why a loving God would use a death penalty? Love and death.
Yeah, there's a couple of things we need to say here. The first is that it is because He's a loving God and He cares about His people that there are penalties for the way that we treat each other badly. So this is motivated by love. And God's judgment is from His love rather than from hatred or anything like that. Second thing is, God in the Bible is always connected with life. He's called the author of life, in a sense, the creator who gives life. Being with Him means being with life. Pushing Him away, all you can expect is death. Life is in God. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you're going to push life away, all you've got is death.
Okay. Going on from that, that's lovely. We've got this loving God. But you use the phrase, Jesus is the only way back to God. To some ears, that may sound arrogant.
Yeah.
And someone has written saying, Jesus is the only way back sounds arrogant. What about good people of other faiths or just good people?
Yep. It's either arrogant or it's true, right? If it's untrue, it's arrogant. If it's true, it's not arrogant.
Yeah.
And so I want to argue that this is truth that God has revealed to us. Now, there's lots of lovely people who believe all kinds of things in the world. You're a lovely person, I'm a lovely person, but we still know that we are not perfect. We still know that we struggle with, you know, letting our kids down, various other things. We need forgiveness. And In a sense, what we need to see is that we can't tell God the way that he should forgive us. We've got to listen to God on the way that he has chosen to offer us forgiveness. Now, we're not good at listening to God. We're better at ignoring God than listening to God. But on this one, we've got to listen to God. He's spoken clearly. He's revealed himself in the center of our history, in the man Jesus Christ. He's shown us what he's done to offer forgiveness. We can't just come up with all kinds of alternatives. We've got to listen to God on this one.
Okay. So then we're listening to God. We're digging into that practical question that someone's asked. What does Jesus reconciling us to God actually have to do with fixing our human relationships?
Yes, I'm so glad that was asked, because that's where we'll be moving next week. It's really important. That's really what's motivated this whole series, isn't it? We're feeling alone. We're feeling that disconnection. It's all well and good sorting things out with God, but how's that going to help me and the people that I struggle with? Well, my little teaser is that God knows how to do reconciliation well. God knows how to bring peace to relationships well. And so we're going to look to him and see if we can learn from him about how we can do it a little bit better in our own lives.
Thanks, Carl. There may be an opportunity later. There's a number of other questions. There'll be some questions tonight. Maybe an opportunity later for an extended Q&A.
Excellent.
Tune in and see how we go. Thanks so much.
Thank you.